Chapter 12. The following December, a day or two before Christmas, Mrs. Filmer and her son were walking up and down the broad gravel path which bordered the east front of the house. Till within the last half hour the morning had been a drizzling one, and they had just emerged for a short turn before luncheon. "You see, dear mother," apostrophe the son was saying, "it is the peculiarity of my position which makes her appear to me in such a desirable light. When you consider how I have been crippled at starting, how my life has been maimed, that I feel anything like publicity distasteful, that I have no political ambition, and that my chief aim and hope lie in the education of the little thing Annie has left me, you must see how desirable a wife like Miss Halborough would be, to prevent my becoming a mere vegetable. Apostrophe apostrophe, if you adore her, I suppose you must have her." Apostrophe apostrophe, replied his mother with dry indirectness. "But you'll find that she will not be content to live on here as you do, giving her whole mind to a young child." Apostrophe apostrophe, that's just where we differ. Her very disqualification, that of being a nobody, as you call it, is her recommendation in my eyes. Her lack of influential connections limits her ambition. From what I know of her, a life in this place is all that she would wish for. She would never care to go outside the park gates, if it were necessary to stay within. Apostrophe apostrophe, being in love with her, Albert, and meaning to marry her, you invent your practical reasons, to make the case respectable. Well, do as you will, I have no authority over you, so why should you consult me? You mean to propose on this very occasion, no doubt. Don't you, now? Apostrophe apostrophe, by no means. I am merely revolving the idea in my mind. If on further acquaintance she turns out to be as good as she has hitherto seemed, well, I shall see. Admit, now, that you like her. Apostrophe, I readily admit it. She is very captivating at first sight. But as a stepmother to your child, you seem mighty anxious, Albert, to get rid of me. Apostrophe apostrophe, not at all. And I am not so reckless as you think. I don't make up my mind in a hurry. But the thought having occurred to me, I mention it to you at once, mother. If you dislike it, say so. Apostrophe, I don't say anything. I will try to make the best of it, if you are determined. When does she come? Apostrophe, tomorrow. Apostrophe apostrophe, all this time there were great preparations in train at the curate's, who was now a householder. Rosa, whose 2 or 3 weeks stay on 2 occasions earlier in the year had so affected the squire, was coming again, and at the same time her younger brother Cornelius, to make up a family party. Rosa, who journeyed from the Midlands, could not arrive till late in the evening, but Cornelius was to get there in the afternoon, Joshua going out to meet him in his walk across the fields from the railway. Everything being ready in Joshua's modest abode, he started on his way, his heart buoyant and thankful, if ever it was in his life. He was of such good report himself, that his brother's path in 2 holy orders promised to be unexpectedly easy, and he longed to compare experiences with him, even though there was on hand a more exciting matter still. From his youth he had held that, in old-fashioned country places, the church conferred social prestige up to a certain point at a cheaper price than any other profession or pursuit, and events seemed to be proving him right. He had walked about half an hour, when he saw Cornelius coming along the path, and in a few minutes the 2 brothers met. The experiences of Cornelius had been less immediately interesting than those of Joshua, but his personal position was satisfactory, and there was nothing to account for the singularly subdued manner that he exhibited, which at first Joshua set down to the fatigue of overstudy, and he proceeded to the subject of Rosa's arrival in the evening, and the probable consequences of this her third visit. "Before next Easter she'll be his wife, my boy," apostrophe said Joshua with grave exultation. Cornelius shook his head. "She comes too late. Apostrophe he returned. What do you mean? Apostrophe apostrophe, look here. Apostrophe apostrophe, he produced the fountal paper and placed his finger on a paragraph, which Joshua read. It appeared under the report of petty sessions, and was a commonplace case of disorderly conduct, in which a man was sent to prison for 7 days for breaking windows in that town. Well? Apostrophe apostrophe, said Joshua. It happened during an evening that I was in the street, and the offender is our father. Apostrophe apostrophe, not how I sent him more money on his promising to stay in Canada? Apostrophe apostrophe, he is home, safe enough. Apostrophe apostrophe, Cornelius in the same gloomy tone gave the remainder of his information. He had witnessed the scene, unobserved of his father, and had heard him say that he was on his way to see his daughter, who was going to marry a rich gentleman. The only good fortune attending the untoward incident was that the millwright's name had been printed as Joshua Alborough. Beaten. We are to be beaten on the eve of our expected victory. Apostrophe, said the elder brother. How did he guess that Rosa was likely to marry? Good heaven, Cornelius, you seem doomed to bring bad news always, do you not? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I do, apostrophe, said Cornelius. Poor Rosa. Apostrophe, it was almost in tears, so great was their heartsickness and shame, that the brothers walked the remainder of the way to Joshua's dwelling. In the evening they set out to meet Rosa, bringing her to the village in a fly, and when S.E. had come into the house, and was sitting down with them, they almost forgot their secret anxiety in contemplating her, who knew nothing about it. Next day the Felmers came, and the 2 or 3 days after that were a lively time. That the squire was yielding to his impulses, making up his mind, there could be no doubt. On Sunday Cornelius read the lessons, and Joshua preached. Mrs. Felmer was quite maternal towards Rosa, and it appeared that S.E. had decided to welcome the inevitable with a good grace. The pretty girl was to spend yet another afternoon with the elder lady, superintending some parish treat at the house in observance of Christmas, and afterwards to stay on to dinner, her brothers to fetch her in the evening. They were also invited to dine, but they could not accept owing to an engagement. The engagement was of a somber sort. They were going to meet their father, who would that day be released from Fountal Gaol, and try to persuade him to keep away from Narrabourne. Every exertion was to be made to get him back to Canada, to his old home in the Midlands anywhere, so that he would not impinge disastrously upon their courses, and blast their sister's prospects of the auspicious marriage which was just then hanging in the balance. As soon as Rosa had been fetched away by her friends at the manor house, her brothers started on their expedition, without waiting for dinner or tea. Cornelius, to whom the millwright always addressed his letters when he wrote any, drew from his pocket and reread as he walked the curt note which had led to this journey being undertaken. It was dispatched by their father the night before, immediately upon his liberation, and stated that he was setting out for Narrabourne at the moment of writing, that having no money he would be obliged to walk all the way, that he calculated on passing through the intervening town of Ivel about 6 on the following day, where he should sup at the Castle Inn, and where he hoped they would meet him with a carriage and pair, or some other such conveyance, that he might not disgrace them by arriving like a tramp. That sounds as if he gave a thought to our position, apostrophe, said Cornelius. Joshua knew the satire that lurked in the paternal words, and said nothing. Silence prevailed during the greater part of their journey. The lamps were lighted in Ivel when they entered the streets, and Cornelius, who was quite unknown in this neighborhood, and who, moreover, was not in clerical attire, decided that he should be the one to call at the Castle Inn. Here, in answer to his inquiry under the darkness of the archway, they told him that such a man as he had described left the house about a quarter of an hour earlier, after making a meal in the kitchen settle. He was rather the worse for liquor. Then, apostrophe said Joshua, when Cornelius joined him outside with his intelligence, we must have met and passed him. And now that I think of it, we did meet someone who was unsteady in his gait, under the trees on the other side of Henford Hill, where it was too dark to see him. Apostrophe, apostrophe, they rapidly retraced their steps, but for a long stretch of the way home could discern nobody. When, however, they had gone about three quarters of the distance, they became conscious of an irregular footfall in front of them, and could see a whitish figure in the gloom. They followed dubiously. The figure met another wayfarer, the single one that had been encountered upon this lonely road, and they distinctly heard him ask the way to Narrowburn. The stranger replied what was quite true, that the nearest way was by turning in at the stile by the next bridge, and following the footpath which branched thence across the meadows. When the brothers reached the stile, they also entered the path, but did not overtake the subject of their worry till they had crossed two or three meads, and the lights from Narrowburn Manor House were visible before them through the trees. Their father was no longer walking. He was seated against the wet bank of an adjoining hedge. Observing their forms, he shouted, "I'm going to Narrowburn. Who may you be?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, they went up to him, and revealed themselves, reminding him of the plan which he had himself proposed in his note, that they should meet him at Ivel. "By Jerry, I'd forgot it." Apostrophe, apostrophe, he said. "Well, what do you want me to do?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, his tone was distinctly quarrelsome. A long conversation followed, which became embittered at the first hint from them that he should not come to the village. The millwright drew a quart bottle from his pocket and challenged them to drink, if they meant friendly, and called themselves men. Neither of the two had touched alcohol for years, but for once they thought it best to accept, so as not to needlessly provoke him. "What's in it?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Joshua. "A drop of weak gin and water. It won't hurt ye. Drink from the bottle." Apostrophe, apostrophe, Joshua did so, and his father pushed up the bottom of the vessel so as to make him swallow a good deal in spite of himself. It went down into his stomach like molten lead. "Ha, ha, that's right." Apostrophe, apostrophe, said old Halborough. "But 'twas raw spirit, ha, ha." Apostrophe, apostrophe, why should you take me in so? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Joshua, losing his self-command, try as he would to keep calm. "Because you took me in, my lad, in banishing me to that cursed country under pretense that it was for my good. You were a pair of hypocrites to say so. It was done to get rid of me no more nor less. But, by Jerry, I'm a match for ye now. I'll spoil your souls for preaching. My daughter is going to be married to the squire here. I've heard the news, I saw it in a paper. Apostrophe, it is premature, apostrophe, I know it is true, and I'm her father, and I shall give her away, or there'll be a hell of a row, I can assure ye. Is that where the gentleman lives?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, Joshua Halborough arrived in impotent despair. Felmer had not yet positively declared himself, his mother was hardly one round. A scene with their father in the parish would demolish as fair a palace of hopes as was ever builded. The millwright rose. "If that's where the squire lives, I'm going to call. Just arrived from Canady with her fortune, ha, ha. I wish no harm to the gentleman, and the gentleman will wish no harm to me. But I like to take my place in the family, and stand upon my rights, and lower people's pride." Apostrophe, apostrophe, you've succeeded already. Where's that woman you took with you, apostrophe, woman? She was my wife as lawful as the Constitution, a sight more lawful than your mother was till some time after you were born. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Joshua had for many years before heard whispers that his father had cajoled his mother in their early acquaintance, and had made somewhat tardy amends, but never from his father's lips till now. It was the last stroke, and he could not bear it. He sank back against the hedge. "It is over," apostrophe, he said. "He ruins us all. The millwright moved on, waving his stick triumphantly, and the two brothers stood still. They could see his drab figure stalking along the path, and over his head the lights from the conservatory of Narreburn House, inside which Albert Filmer might possibly be sitting with Rosa at that moment, holding her hand, and asking her to share his home with him. The staggering whitey brown form, advancing to put a blot on all this, had been diminishing in the shade, and now suddenly disappeared beside a weir. There was the noise of a flounce in the water. "He has fallen in." " said Cornelius, starting forward to run for the place at which his father had vanished. Joshua, awaking from the stupefied reverie into which he had sunk, rushed to the other side, before he had taken 10 steps. "Stop, stop, what are you thinking of?" " he whispered hoarsely, grasping Cornelius's arm. "Pulling him out." " yes, so am one. "But wait a moment, but, Joshua." " her life and happiness. "You know Cornelius and your reputation and mine, and our chance of rising together, all three " he clutched his brother's arm to the bone, and as they stood breathless the splashing and floundering in the weir continued. Over it they saw the hopeful lights from the Manor House conservatory winking through the trees as their bare branches waved to and fro. The floundering and splashing grew weaker, and they could hear gurgling words. "Help, I'm drowned. Rosie. We'll go, we must save him. Oh, Joshua." Yes, we must. Still they did not move, but waited, holding each other, each thinking the same thought. Weights of lead seemed to be affixed to their feet, which would no longer obey their wills. The mead became silent. Over it they fancied they could see figures moving in the conservatory. The air up there seemed to emit gentle kisses. Cornelius started forward at last, and Joshua almost simultaneously. 2 or 3 minutes brought them to the brink of the stream. At Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.